Moncrief on News Talk.
Anyway, in the meantime, are you a good kisser? If you think you are, how do you know? Have you received Yelp reviews? Saying I've got no complaints could mean that no one wants to tell you how bad you are, because it can be that bad kissers think other people are bad kissers, and this kind of thing can destroy lives and marriages, but it can be fixed. Emily Power-Smith is a sex therapist. Good afternoon, Emily.
Hello there.
Are there objectively bad kissers, Emily?
I don't know that there are, to be honest. I'm not sure about objectively bad or good anything when it comes to sexuality, because everything, you know, there's such a huge variety in tastes. It's very subjective. There's certainly, though, an issue with compatibility.
If you have to ram the tongue in dishwasher people and they're both doing it at the same time, I mean, apart from the danger of injury, that can't be much fun for anyone.
Well, if they both are into it, then they're both going to love it. I mean, I've seen in real life people doing porn kind of kissing where they're doing the tongue action outside of their mouths, and they're into it. They enjoy it. I mean, it certainly would not be my cup of kiss, but, you know, each to their own. It's not hurting anyone. It's not, you know.
Okay. So,
but I think if you get somebody who likes less tongue and somebody who likes a lot of tongue, that's a really common thing, then you run into difficulties around compatibility and what do you do about it.
Yeah. And what do you do about it?
Well, if you are just muddling through yourselves and you don't really talk about things, then you probably just break up down the line, or you put up with it, or you do all the things that might come up around how to avoid kissing. But it's a shame, because actually kissing, it's a preempt to everything else you're going to do. It's like I think of it like a conversation or a dance between two people's mouths. And in order to dance well, if you're doing partner dancing, like you're dancing on your own, you can do whatever you like. But kissing on your own isn't much fun. So if you're with someone, you've got to...
We'll come back to how you actually do that in a minute.
Well, we've all kissed our arms and our hands, haven't we? Like when we were learning, when we were younger.
Yeah.
but hopefully we're not needing to do that so much as we get older. But if you're not able to talk about it, it can be very difficult. The person who does loads of tongue, they can be sometimes not aware of what's even going on in the other person's mouth. And it can feel very suffocating and overwhelming for the person who isn't ready for a load of tongue. You know, so if they're not talking about it, then often it's the end of a relationship. Because it can preempt how you're going to be otherwise sexually. You know, if you're not paying attention to who you're actually kissing and what's going on from their side, you may be like that as a lover as well.
Yeah. You can kind of find, like, even like, I presume kissing is the start, that even at the start you have to talk about it. There's a danger of rinsing all spontaneity out of it altogether.
Well, I mean, spontaneity is, who came up with that? Spontaneity really is, it doesn't really help us that much. And even when people talk about spontaneity, what are they talking about? So what is spontaneous kissing? Is that's really, if you look at it literally, that's just kissing someone out of the blue with no planning whatsoever. Nobody does spontaneous kissing or hookups or sex. They're thinking about it beforehand, which means it's not spontaneous, right? So we need to come away from that being the gold seal and the most wonderful thing. It's not actually a thing in real life.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like it in movies and stuff because they're acting and we don't know the buildup. But if you go on a date with someone and you haven't planned to have sex, it doesn't mean you're not thinking about having sex with them or what it's going to be like and anticipating and all of that. That is not spontaneous then.
Okay.
So we have to why not talk about it? If you really like someone, they're a good person, but you're not compatible in kissing, it's an awful shame to throw them away because you can't talk about kissing.
Mm.
Like, we only do it for pleasure. If it's not pleasurable, why wouldn't you name it? If you're fed something, if you go out to a restaurant and you choose something that you think is disgusting, you don't keep eating it next time you go. You tell the person, oh, that wasn't good, and, you know, you have something else next time. I don't know why we get so hung up on these simple conversations about pleasure. It's because pleasure is really hard to talk about, I think.
Have you come across people who just don't like kissing at all?
Yeah, but usually that's because they've never been kissed how they like to kiss. But there are people who genuinely don't like kissing for other reasons, and they might be, it's all sorts of things. It could be because they're neurodivergent and it doesn't feel right for them. They don't feel right in their bodies for it. It could be other reasons to do with their bodies, or it could be trauma, or it could be just a taste that they don't like it. But I always want to know, why don't you like something that can be really beautiful and really helpful? I'll always try and get into that a little bit with them. And usually, unless there's a reason, you know, one of the reasons I mentioned, it's often because they've never been kissed how they wanted to. They didn't know that there were different ways of kissing. They think there's only one way to kiss and they don't like it.
Yeah, fair enough. You have a technique, though, that sometimes you teach to couples.
I do, because it's something. There's two things. Like if you are in a relationship and you're not enjoying sex, one way to stop sex from happening is to stop the kissing that preempts sex. So a lot of people give up everything that's in any way intimate that might lead to more full-on sexual encounters. So kissing can go out the window. That's one reason it goes out. It's nothing to do with style or technique or compatibility. It could be that someone is avoiding what comes after kissing. So the first things I check is that. And then I also check, how's everyone's breath? I mean, nobody wants to kiss someone with really bad breath. Mm. If you're prone to bad breath, own it and do something about it. It's nothing to be ashamed of. Sometimes people have bad breath, with the best intentions. Just eat chewing gum. Both of you eat chewing gum. Don't make a big thing of it. Be a team. Have chewing gum. That's one thing taken care of. But if it's about style and compatibility, what I think is really nice is to play a game where you take turns. And so one person is completely still, and the other person approaches them and kisses them how they like to be kissed. And the still person then copies that style of kissing so that the one showing how to kiss gets kissed the way they like it. And they get to see what that feels like, to both be really aware of how they're kissing, pay attention, be fully present, and one of you try the other's style, and then you switch. And you'll often find that actually one of the main issues was that people weren't actually present. They weren't really paying attention. They were just doing what they've always done, and they weren't really connecting with the kissing. So the exercise connects them, but then they also learn the differences. And then they can often find something in a kiss that will be enjoyable for both of them.
Is it possible to say that, roughly speaking, there are X amount of different styles of kissing?
I don't know that would even be useful to know that, because everyone, I mean, there's all sorts of, what are we going to have now? We've AI and we've got everything going on with I saw a thing recently about in China, they've invented a thing you stick onto your phone and it's a set of fake latex lips.
I know,
so that
I
if
saw
you're in a long
that.
Distance relationship,
disgusting.
You can kiss each other. Do you know, like, but it's safe, right? If as we're heading towards with younger people finding it harder to actually be in the presence of real people, it these kinds of things are going to crop up and people are going to use them.
Yeah.
So that's a whole new way of kissing. So yeah, we could come up with a finite number of kissing, but it's going to keep changing, right? And then you've all the types of kissing that aren't used, but where they don't use lips, because it's considered culturally inappropriate to kiss with the lips, you know? So I wouldn't know how many types of ways there are.
How do you kiss but don't use your lips?
You know, if you're using your nose, for example.
Right.
You know, like Inuits, I think Inuit people kiss using their noses rather than their lips,
okay.
For example.
But is that like, oh my God, he's really going at me with the nose now. I've got to get me clothes off. Is it that scenario?
I haven't worked with anyone who does that, so I'm afraid I haven't studied it, so I can't help you with how nose kissing goes wrong. It's a whole new area for me.
I would say, though, it's not that uncommon that somebody would go on a first, second or third date, and when they kiss for the first time, their attitude, if they don't like it, their attitude would be, if this hasn't worked, nothing else is going to work either.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think without being able to communicate or wanting to have the conversation, that's probably fair. I think usually that is fair. I think kissing is a sign of how it's going to be. But if you like someone, like, that's hard to find these days. It's not easy to find a match in the real world. So if you like someone and they're a good person and it's just the kissing, why not try talking to them about it? What you'll learn is if they're open to and available for change and to learn about you in particular. And that's a really good thing to learn early on in a relationship anyway, because it's going to come up at some point. You're going to need to talk about, oh, the way you used to give me an orgasm, it doesn't work anymore. Or, you know, I need you to touch my penis this way because that isn't enough anymore. You're going to need to talk about these things. So why not learn early if somebody is going to be open to that, or if they're just going to say, well, it worked that way for everyone else I've been with, so you must have a problem. Then I'd be saying goodbye to that person.
Yeah, yeah. And where you're at.
And that happens a lot, by the way.
Does if someone's got lip fillers, does that can that affect things?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I ask myself that when I see some people's lips and the size of them. I've never seen anything about it, but I would imagine it depends how big they make their lips get. Here's another thing about big lips. Sometimes people with big lips, when they're kissing, block the nostrils of the other person. So if they have their mouth over the person's mouth. So, you know, it's a real thing. You've got to be aware of what you're doing when you're kissing, because you could be literally smothering someone with the best friend in the world, but just big lips or an unusual, you know, positioning. You don't even have to have big lips to smother someone. Just be a bit careful.
Okay.
I think
you could have scenarios where, like, big lips, for instance, where there's almost a physical impatibility.
There could be. I mean, look, there's lots of people with big lips who kiss beautifully. I'm just saying, if you've just got your big lips, the way you used to kiss might now smother someone and it might be worth just having a think. But, you know, if you've grown up with big lips, you probably have that. You're probably okay with it if you're paying attention. I think another thing that's really important, because where do we learn to kiss? On our hands, on the telly, on porn. You know, we don't get a lot of help with it. But I think what we often do is we think that we want passion, right? Particularly early in relationships and particularly the first kiss, we want to be really passionate. But we mistake roughness or washing machine tongues or slobbering or hard, fast kissing, that we think that that is what passion is. But actually, that's just one type of passion. Passion really is about being really into what you're doing and the person you're doing it with. So that can include gentle, soft, teasing kissing. It just means you're paying attention and trying to build turn on in each other. That's what passion is. It doesn't have to be hard and fast like we often see modelled for us.
Mm. I remember seeing this a scene. I forget now which character kissed the other character, but one of the boys kissed the girls, and you kind of saw a scene where the kissed girl was describing it to the other girl what it was like, and it was lovely, and he held my face, and it was all very gentle. And then you switch to the lads. And he said, what was the kiss like? He said, was there tongues? Cool. So is there a gender incompatibility sometimes?
Yeah, I think there can be. And I think a lot of it has to do with that, with the idea of what's passionate, what's performative, what looks good, what looks macho and masculine can come into it for some young men in particular. And then they may not change their style and it can go with them into older life. I think porn has a lot to do with that. When there is kissing, it's you know, it's full on. It's never tentative and soft and exploratory and respectful. It's a different kind of thing. So I think the model can be, I'm going to kiss because the way I want to, because this is about me and my pleasure, and I'm going to get my pleasure no matter what, which, yeah, again, it's not a great value to go into any sexual encounter with, really.
Yeah.
For the other person.
Emily, face licking would be a complete no-no. Would you agree?
You know, look, I know people who kiss, who lick faces and get their faces licked and they like it. Again, it's not for most people, perhaps, but some people like it. Some people like to be licked and they like to lick.
Okay. Emily, you're a tremendously broad-minded woman, far more so than me. And thanks a million for talking to us today. That was the sex therapist, Emily Power-Smith, there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.